and welcome to The Squeal, PIC Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. We revisit sow farm management for part two in our series. Our special guest is Jay Oliver of Tosh Farms.
I'm the director of livestock production at Tosh Farms in Henry, Tennessee. We have farms in Tennessee and Kentucky, and right now we have around 37,000 sows.
Also with us today is PIC's Latin America Technical Services Director, Jose Piva.
Jose Piva, working with customers in Latin America, Mexico mainly, Colombia, Brazil, and Argentina.
And PIC's Carlos Gonzalez.
My name is Carlos Gonzalez, and I'm working on the technical service team for sow farms in here in the U.S. And I am located in Indiana, and working with customers in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, some in Illinois, until Iowa.
Tell me about culling. We've been talking about sow conditioning. We've been talking about parity. So the next step, of course, is when they no longer fit our program. How much of an issue is conditioning on that today versus another health issue, a lameness issue, water first and foremost that we consider when we get to culling?
I think today the culling protocol is a lot different than 10 to 15 years ago. The culling today that people are doing less forgiveness for the type of animals that they are not producing. In the past, it was common to breed the sow for the first, the second, and sometimes even the third repeat, or the sow that's abort in the normal, in stable farm. But to a sow that show up being NIP in 50, 60 days of being in gestation. But today, culling has been much more on top of this type of aspect. An animal that repeat, she needs to have a very good reason to keep her back. There are more and more of the high productive production system culling this type of animals. So I do believe that the culling is one good way to make a farm better. If we cull the right animals, the animals that need to be culled, certainly that is helping the farm being more productive, more efficient, culling the right animals, the animals that they are taking non-productive days, the animals that are producing too many stillborn, or the animals that are taking too long to come back in heat, or the animals that repeat, at least, say, repeat for two times, or this type of thing. So culling today, the protocol for culling today is a lot different than 10 years ago. I do believe that everybody today are much more, expecting much more out of an animal, out of select guilt, or out of a sow in farrowing, or out of a sow in breeding gestation.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to add to that. I totally agree also with Piva in this point, and he mentioned something before when we were talking about the guilds that for me is very important when we're talking about culling strategies, is to have enough guilds. So Piva said it's better to have a little bit more than be short. Because if we have enough guilds and we know how many guilds we will have for breeding in 3 more weeks, we can start to planning and do a good culling strategy with the sows coming from farrowing or in the same week of breeding. If we don't know, and if we don't have enough kills, we can be tempted to keep marginal animals and start to breeding marginal animals. And when we cross that line and we start to breeding too many marginal animals, our outcome, our results, could be no different than marginal. So it is very important to have a good pool of kills to make a good strategy on our culling process. And then could be some, as I said, like voluntary or involuntary. So I don't know how to compare with the past, but for sure, discharge, abortions, lanes, bad others, so those animals should not be bred. And when we have second returns or animals that are not very productive, we can start to increase our voluntary culling process. That could be probably the point to try to start to improve the farm performance, the performance of the farms. For sure, it's a ingredient to increase the performance of the farms.
Is it challenging to help customers understand the benefits of culling in a more strategic manner, where we're talking about we're improving the farm through our culling? I see why you may have kept that animal before, but this is why we're not keeping it now. Has that been a challenge to help them think in that manner?
One thing that I would on that would be, you've got to also look at the economics of this. In our situation, we're only breeding about 1% returns across the whole system right now. But you're not going to take a system that's 80 or 85% farrowing rate or conception rate, let's say, and make it a 92% by not culling returns or not culling late winters. There's probably something else going on in that farm as far as management. Now, I do think if you're in a system and your farrowing rate's 90%, and you want to try to push it to that 92%, and that's what we're looking at in our system, is not breeding any returns, because we see, I'm not sure what Piva and Carlos see, but you know, those returns you breed, the farrowing rate is lots of times half of what it is on a gilt, let's say. Late weaners, we look at those too. Nips, your abortions. But it's more, in the farrowing house, we've also gone to more performance culling. If the total born is what we see fit, we set different targets on every farm of what that culling should be done at. But we see that keeping, where we kept older parity sows years ago, we're seeing that seventh parity and above, only 30% of them, if you keep them, will outperform their last parity. And we're seeing that only 15% of them will outperform a gilt. Now, I'm sure that's different in every system, but, you know, we feel that, you know, genetically that gilt is the best thing for our farm. You know, what are we, Piva, Carlos, 3 years behind on a genetically, if we keep that sixth, seventh parity sow?
Yeah, roughly, the industry is 3 to 4, between 3 and 3.5 years genetic lag.
Yes. So,
that counts a lot.
Yes.
In terms of culling, sow space is very expensive to keep tied up with a sow that is not producing the right number, or the expected number of piglets, or not having what we expect in terms of reproduction. So I do believe it's, I think nobody likes to go and cull a gilt or a sow if she's doing very well, if it's not necessary. But also people are, say, like producers in general, who is aiming for the 33, 34, they are much more, looking for culling an animal that is not meeting the expectation. So keeping space could be BSF space, or could be a crate space with a sow that is not producing, or a gilt that is not producing what we would like to see, is not the best thing. Today, to build a farm is much more expensive than 10 years ago. And most of the people that are trying to, or the producers that are building farms, they want to produce piglet. They are looking for throughput. Okay? And even today, even more. Okay? Just talk a little bit in terms of, say, going back a little bit in terms of the culling protocol. We cannot afford to do culling protocol for repeats, for aborts, for nips, for somebody that has 70% farrowing rate, because then we'll be culling too many animals. And we are culling animals not because they are part of the problem, but because probably we have some other stuff that we need to look in terms of the labor, in terms of how the work is done, if there's not something else that is causing this low firing rate.
Yeah, I totally agree. And just to finish in myself with this point, we have seen some studies that where we can try to make a relation between some mortality, culling rate, and reproduction efficiency. And what we have seen is when sow mortality goes up, sometimes culling rate of the sows go down, and reproduction efficiency of the farm is compromised, goes down as well. And the opposite side, when we see that culling rates going up, sometimes also the reproduction efficiency of the farms going up. So we have seen also that in some studies.
Piva, I'm going to ask you to quantify. We've said a couple of times we want a few more gilts than we think we need. How many is that? Is there a percentage? What overage?
I think everything has a cost. Not to have a gilt costs more than to have to breed. Mm-hmm. Costs much more than to have 3, 4, or 5% more gilts. Okay. I think mainly during summer, that we know that is an opportunity to produce a pig that's almost for sure profitable 12 months later, to have 3 to 5 to 6% more gilt on the flow, even up to 10 during this time of part of the year, during the 3 months of the summer, is, I would like to say, probably pay off very, very, very easy. Okay. We cannot also to have more gilt, to try to have more gilt and not give the right environment or not give the right condition. We need to make sure also that we are not piling pigs on top of gilt, on top of gilt, because then they will not cycle. So for the farm that they have the opportunity, to breed the gilt 21 days later, we can skip the heat if we have reached our breeding target. But I do believe that for a farm, the most expensive part is not to have the sow inventory, or not to make its breeding target, or not to have the farming target, or not to win the number of pigs that the farm should win. Okay. And if we miss the inventory because we did not have gilt, or because something happened, or if we're missing breeding target, or if we're missing farming target, and missing number of pigs to win, we can struggle to have, we can work with 90% retention, and the profit will not be there. Okay. So to be a farm, everything is important to a farm, but having the inventory, the breeding, the farming, and the number of piglets to be is very, very, very important. Okay. So if it's necessary at some point to keep 3 to 5% more gilt, I do believe it still is a cheaper decision than to be short in terms of, or to have an open space, or to keep an unproductive animal.
So Jay, does that fit in your financial economic framework?
Yes, and one thing that's changed over the years and that I've seen is, years ago we were stuck on, we're only going to replace 50% of these animals a year, or maybe even less at times. Now I see that some of the highest performing farms out there are hitting that 60%, 65%, because they're getting more pigs out the door by doing that. Keeping the, like Piva said, keeping the sow out there that just because you want to stay at that 50% or 55% culling rate, keeping a sow that's only going to wean 10 pigs. 10 pigs years ago was a great thing. 10 pigs now is, you know, my managers, my employees are disgusted that a sow that only weans 10 pigs. It goes back to the get her out, get a gilt in place, higher total born. The gilts push the gilt, wean more pigs. If you can get 2 pigs on every one, extra on every one of those animals you cull out, it doesn't take long to pay for that performance over a lifetime. What do y'all see as a good, you know, replacement rate?
Well, I think it's you touch a very good point, because I think probably there is no single answer for that question. Like Piva said, probably it depends. But truly, I believe, I have seen what you mentioned, farms running with 60 and even with 65% replacement rate, and they are very successful. They are very productive farms with high performance. But also, I have seen farms with 50, 55 that performing very well. I think the final decision in that one probably is analyze economically, where is your point to what you mentioned before, Jay. So how much it costs to have a new gilt, fresh gilt into the herd, and how much I are having cooling those animals. They are not productive. But I totally agree, 60, 65% of today I see many very productive, successful farms. The same with 50, 55. So I don't think there is a single question there, a single answer for that question.
We do see more replacement rate today, or higher replacement rate today than the 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But also farm producing much, much more piglet and spending less feed per pig wean. It was common 10 years ago to talk with them of 40 or 85 to 90 pounds of feed for a wean piglet. Today, it's common to see between 70 and 80 pounds of feed. By having more total born, by having sows that can raise more piglets, but also by feeding the sows in a better way and not keeping many unproductive sows on the farm. I do believe that it's difficult for a farm to reach 33, 34 pigs per sow per year. We're keeping sows that they have parity 9, 10, or 11, or keeping marginal females that they abort, that they repeat, or that turn more than take more than 7 days to come back in heat. Okay. So I like to say this: say like there are people that they change the car based on miles, and there are people that they change the car based on 2 or 3 years with the car. So is a question is to look two different ways that we can look this for the same thing. Okay. We can call a sow because she's parity, she produced the 60 or 65 piglets during the lifetime, but also we can say, no, I go to keep for another parity too, say stay 3 years to 4 years, but then I start to lose in terms of all the progress in terms of genetic improvement.
But it's not only at the sow farm, that is the wean pig to finish, wean pig growth rates, feed conversion. But I would say that replacement rate is different for every system, what works best for them. I mean, you could write down on a piece of paper that everybody has to have 50% replacement rate or put it in your SOPs, but that's kind of like putting an address in your GPS and you come up on a bridge that's out. Well, you just don't drive off in the hole just because that piece of paper said that. You've got to make changes as far as your system, different systems, what's best for you.
Joining us on The Squeal for Episode 2 on Sow Farm Management was Tosh Farms' Jay Oliver and PIC's Carlos Gonzalez and Jose Piva. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.